Missions. I love it when we have missions, yeah? And I love being part of a church where missions is such a central focus. And where missions is, I really believe, put in the place that it needs to be put and it's supposed to be put, which is right there, right in the middle of everything that we do, yeah? And that as people and as a church, we're really engaging with the call and with the command that God has given us, which is missions, yeah? It is so simple. It is so, like, apparent and so clear in the Bible that the calling of God is that we would, like it says in Matthew 28:19, that we would go and we would make disciples of all nations. And there is no sugarcoating that. There is no avoiding that. There is no, like, excusing that. That is the commission on every Christian, yeah? And that is, and our mission is, our ultimate goal and purpose on the planet Earth when we have our time here is to try and tell as many people as we can about the love of Jesus and what he has done for them and what he has done for us. Amen. And so missions is the thing, and it is awesome, and this morning was amazing. And if you didn't get here, you can get the podcast, because you should really listen to just all the stuff that as a church we are doing. And Dad always preaches really well when it's missions, and he always preaches really well all the time. But like, it's, you can really get the heart of it, and I encourage you to get the heart of it, because that's what's going to make a change, and that's what's going to make you do something about it. Because, like, you can take the brochure, you can read all the information, you can see the statistics, but if your heart doesn't connect with that, then you're not going to do anything about it. And so make sure that in all of this, that your heart is connected with what God has been calling us to do. And that is kind of what I want to talk mostly about tonight. But firstly, our focus this year, our two focuses this year in missions is unreached people and the urban church. And we talked about that. It's you two, it's two yous, it's you, it's whatever. They reckon that they're going to turn us sideways and make it curry church, and I'm hoping they don't. People don't understand that it actually, like, you put thought and effort into how things are supposed to look and how a logo works. And then they're like, can you just put it sideways? Like, no, you can't just put it sideways. I write your name backwards. Is that okay? Nobody else cares. I care. So, and I have a microphone, so you get to listen to that. No, I don't really mind that much, but there is a point. Anyway. The two U's, urban church, unreached people, that's what it's about. And the reality is, we live in this world with huge needs. We live in this world that is so separate from what God wants for their life. We live in a world that is just full of millions and millions of people who have never even heard the message of the cross. They have never heard the gospel. And that's, like, that's a crazy thought, because, like, in our country, you can't get away from hearing the gospel at some point in your life. Either somebody told you it, it's scripture, either you went to Sunday school, there's Easter, there's Christmas, so at least in some way, everybody kind of knows somewhere in the back of their head that there is this thing about Jesus and Jesus dying, yeah? It's kind of built in to our Western culture, like, linked in, yeah? But there are a lot of places in the world where that is not so. And I've been sitting in China, like, on trips, talking to young people who have never heard anything about Jesus and have no idea who he is at all. And that's a scary thought. And something that I think we take for granted so much, but all over the world, it's just not the case. There are people everywhere that do not know who Jesus is, what he's done, even in a historical context. And we need, I also, as an aside, we need to not take that for granted in our own country, because, like, I do scripture in Coromel High School, and you represent in Coromel High. That's right. There's a few people who are excited about that. That's good. I speak to young people who they have never heard it before and who have no idea. And there is so much opposition, and there's a lot of stuff going through government at the moment to try and get scripture out of schools. And so we can't take for granted that everybody in our country has at least heard in some way the gospel. We need to be on it in our own community as well. But around the world, there are thousands of people groups, of ethnic groups, that just have not heard anything about Jesus or have any Christian witness at all. And our vision and our focus this year is to be a part of changing that. It's to be a part of seeing more and more communities, more and more cultural groups, like here, maybe for the first time, Jesus. Dad was doing like this, and I thought like I had something on my shirt, and he was trying to signal me, and I'm just like, looks all right. He's just scratching his pec. Okay, never mind. It's all right. I'm just going to ignore the front row now. I know, it's hard. You should talk to the boys, talk to Mitch. He's got a supplement for that, I think. Sorry, Mitch. But we have this opportunity, yeah, to open doors into cultures that have never, ever heard who Jesus is. And that's a mind-blowing thing, I really think. And we look at southern Thailand and what the guys are doing there and how they are reaching into communities who have literally never heard of Jesus. Their only context for Jesus is what the Muslim faith says about him being a prophet. And that's it. That's where it stops. And they've never heard that he is so much more than that. And we have this opportunity to be a part of that. There are minority groups all over China that have never heard who Jesus is ever at all. And so one of our focuses this year is to reach those people and tell those people about the love of God and make sure, like I really believe, like our job is at least, at the very least, to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to respond. Because it's up to every individual to decide whether they want a relationship with God or not, whether they believe in God or not. And there's no way that anybody can be forced into that. But at least our responsibility is to give people the choice. The other part of our vision this year is the urban church. And this is like a new challenge for the church around the world, where there are millions and millions of people moving into cities from rural areas, and these cities are just becoming huge. I was reading this thing the other day. If you've been to China on one of the short term trips, you would have been to Shenzhen, yeah? You might have been to Shenzhen. Shenzhen is like part of, like, it's the connection between Hong Kong and China, which means it's effectively the connecting point between China and the rest of the world. And what they are talking about doing in China is connecting something like 5 or 6 cities the size of Shenzhen into one enormous city, which will control something like 80% of Chinese trade with the world. Crazy. So huge. And that's the sort of thing that we're talking about, yeah? People, like millions and millions of people, young people, students, families, people who are getting caught up just in the wealth of this world and what that does in your life. And we are well aware of that in our own country. And we have an opportunity to tell them about the love of God and tell them that there is a bigger purpose for their lives, amen? So overall, I really believe that the vision is about people. And it's just about telling as many people as we can that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, and that he has a purpose for their life. And this will always be our mission, and it will always be our focus, amen? It's never going to change. I always feel like the mission's messages are pretty much the same thing because it never changes. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If it was changing every year, then we would be worried, yeah? But tonight, I guess I want to talk about how we can live out this focus. How we can make a missions focus be more than a brochure and more than a couple of Sundays and a curry night. And we can actually make it something that we can live out in our day-to-day life. Is that good? Awesome. Well, let's get into it, amen. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you are doing around the world. And thank you that you have blessed us so that we are able to be a part of it. And God, right now I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, God, and what you have called us to do individually and as a church. And God, I just pray that you would just speak to us tonight in your word, God, and really show us what you want us to do and stir our hearts for the people of this world. Amen. So I just have a few things that I think are ways that we need to live if we want to live with a missions focus. And the first thing with that is that we need to live in faith. A missions focus requires us to step out of what we would usually think is comfortable, or to step out of what we would just do in our everyday normal life. A missions focus requires us to trust God and to live out of faith in Him. Amen? And so we need to be people that will live out of a faith in God's promises and a faith in God's call, and not out of the circumstances that surround us. Amen? I was reading in Acts, and if you want to learn about missions, I think that reading about what Paul did is a good place to start, because he was really the first missionary and did a crazy amount of travel. And in Acts 18, it's talking about Paul in Corinth, which is Corinthians. Yeah, that's where the people are that he wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians to. And so Corinth, I don't have a map, but just imagine it. Like, here, Jerusalem is... I do have a map. I don't know if you can see this. It's very small. Jerusalem is down here. Yeah, Middle East. Corinth is where Greece is, up here. Yeah, Corinth is kind of near Athens in Greece. And so back in Paul's time, that is a long trip. There's no Jetstar or anything like that. Like, it's not easy to get to. He had to sail and walk and ride and all sorts of stuff to get to this place called Corinth. And it's a totally different country, it's a totally different culture, it's a completely different place, and Paul has gone there to talk to them about what Jesus has done in their lives. Yeah, and so Paul is there, and this verse really stood out to me, and it says in Acts 18 and in verse 9, it says that one night, it says Paul was asleep, or Paul was there, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, and he said, "Do not be afraid, but keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." And so Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. And I was struck by that here is Paul. And it would be easy for him, isolated in this random culture where literally he has had people try and attack him and kill him. But God's promise is, trust me, don't be afraid, keep on speaking what I have told you to speak, and I will protect you. I will be with you, yeah? And no one is going to harm you, because I have many in this city. And I don't really believe that's a word for us. Like, let's not be afraid. Let's not hold back from speaking, because God has many people in the cities that we are reaching out to. And we need to be people, if we want a missions focus, and we need to understand that God is with us. And that mission is not just about going somewhere random and hanging out by yourself, but it's about doing what God has called you to do and living out of the faith that God is there and that He is going to do something in that place, yeah? And when we live in that faith, and when we live, God's promise is that He is with us, and that's what He says to Paul. And we see it as Paul stays there, and he says he stays there for a year and a half, and he starts a church that has huge impact on the places around them. Amen? So we are called to live with faith. We can't let hardship or circumstance stop us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking in chapter 11 about all the stuff that has happened to him. And he's kind of doing it because the Corinthians were not listening to him. Because, you know, you can do all this stuff and they're doing really well, but there's problems sometimes, and that's just normal. But he says this in verse 11, chapter 11, sorry, 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to start down in verse 24. He says, "Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one," which means, like, they believe that if you got lashed 40 times, you would die. And so 39 was like, you'd still be alive, yeah? "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own people, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep." He goes on and he goes on and he says, there's all of this stuff has happened to me. And he's not trying to boast about how tough he is. He's just saying, look, when you go about the call of God, the circumstance is going to come up. People are going to try and stop you. The devil is going to try and stop you from doing what God has called you to do. But he says, you can't let that be the thing that stops you. And down in chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, he says this. He says, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Yeah? It says, that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And God's promise for us is that when we are weak, He is strong. And we don't have to live just like and let the circumstance of our life determine what we will do for God and determine who we will be. But we can live in His power and in faith in His promise. And His promise is that He is with us. Amen? So we need to be, if we want a missions focus, if we want to see people all around the world for the first time hear about the love of God, then we need to live in faith. Not just in the stuff that is happening around it. It's not about being strong on your own, but it's about having Christ in you. Amen? So first one, yeah, live in faith. The second thing that I believe we need to do is, if we want a missions focus, is to live in love. Because without love, there's no point. If we don't love God, if we don't love people, then it's totally pointless. You can't just be doing it because you think it's the right thing or because you think you should. You can't give in a faith promise offering because like everyone else is doing it and it seems like the church is asking you to do that. Like that's just a waste of time. It needs to be about a heart connection, a heart love for people and a love for God, yeah? Because if it's not about love, then it won't last. And it won't be effective. If it's not about love, then the people like the Higgs do not stay in a country for 20 years seeing almost nothing happen. Like if it's not for the love of God and the love of people. You do not persist with the mission and the commission that God has given you if you don't love Him. And if you don't love the people that He has called you to reach, amen? Because you're just not going to do it. There's no other motivation that would be strong enough, yeah? And in John 14, Jesus says, He says, if you love me, then keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. God's promise is connected to this command, which is that if we love Him, we would do what He's commanded us to do. And His command is to love people and make disciples of the nation. So it's pretty simple. And if we love God, then that is inherently linked to loving people. In Matthew 22, Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment? Because these religious leaders were trying to trick Him and trying to work out what He was about. And He says, you know, the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself, yeah? He says, all the law and all the prophets, they hang on these commands. Jesus says, without love, it's pointless. If you don't love God, if you don't love people, then there is no point. And those things are totally connected. You can't say that you love God if you're not willing to love people. You can't say that you're going to go and do something great for missions if you don't love people and if you don't love God. Because it's just not going to happen, yeah? We need to get God's heart for people. Let His heart for the people of this world fill ours so that we will go and do what needs to be done. Because it's not easy, yeah? But it's easy to love the people that love you and to love the people that are close to you and to love the people that will give you something back. It's much harder to love somebody on the other side of the world that you have never met. Now these kids that we've got on the thingy here, they're not random kids. That photo was taken when the guys were doing the water project in southern Thailand trying to give a community clean water to drink. And so those kids are part of that community. And so it's not about like, oh, here's a nice picture of some random kids to make people feel like guilty or guilt them into doing something. But these are real people who really need to know the love of God and who have real needs. And we need our heart to be moved by that. We need to be able to care for people as if they're our own family, as if they're people that we know, because if that's not our attitude towards people, then we won't do anything for them. But when we have a heart of love, then we will do anything. Amen. This whole stuff with the Love is Our Weapon campaign is not about ticking off deeds and making yourself feel good because you've done something nice for somebody, but it's about loving God and loving people. And missions, it's exactly the same. We need to live out of love. Love for God, love for people, and that will put us in a position where we will do the things that God has called us to do. And we will see people know God and people saved because we are willing to step out in love and reach our world, yeah? But we won't do that if we're not motivated. And the only motivation is love. So first up, you've got to live in faith. Two, you got to live in love. And the last thing is that you have to live selfless. If you're selfish, missions doesn't exist. If you care just about yourself, if I just care about me, then missions just doesn't fit. Because the whole concept of missions is something that is separate to you and your needs, your desires, your agenda, your stuff that you want, your problems, your comfort, your situation. It's disconnected from that. And so if we're selfish, we won't connect with missions and we won't do that. But if we are selfless, then our focus becomes other people. Our focus becomes what God is doing in our world and not just ourselves, yeah? It can't be just all about our own needs, our own problems, our own comfort, our own blessing, yeah? We need to understand that our lives are not just our own. That our lives are not just here for our entertainment or our blessing or our comfort. That life on this planet is not just about me. And I know that is a hard concept to understand. And we all find that hard at times, yeah? Because it's pretty trippy to think that your life is not about you. And we have this tendency to think that, like, everybody is the star in their own movie. Yeah? But everybody in the world thinks that. But God's command is to change that and to turn that upside down and to say, look, I'm not here just for myself. But I'm here because God has enabled me to be here and there are people around the world that need me to do something about what He's given me. Amen. In Galatians 2, I'll get there. Verse 20, Paul says this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, I don't live anymore as if this is my life, but I live this life as if I've died, I've been crucified with Jesus, and now He is living in me. And so because of that, then I will be selfless because Jesus was selfless. Because of that, I will love because Jesus loved, yeah? Because of that, I will do the things that He has commanded me to do because it's not like He is just this random guy that's telling me to do something, but He lives in me. And that compels me to do the thing that He has commanded because He is in my heart and He is in my life, amen? And if you, like, are a Christian, if you follow Christ and you have relationship with Him, then He is in you and His commands come out of you. And so we can't be selfish because Jesus wasn't and isn't. We need to be people that understand that our lives are not our own. And if we can do that, then our whole world will change. There is so much need around us. And when we're selfish, we're blind to that. We just don't see it. I was at Scripture again on Friday night. Not Friday night. It'd be pretty lonely if I was there at night time. But one of the guys that does Scripture with me has, like, in the holidays was in Africa working in some slums in Kenya. And he had all these photos of, like, the stuff that had been happening there in this clinic where they were working, all this stuff. It was amazing stuff and just a great, like, thing to do, but just so much need. And I was really, like, torn because we were teaching this year 8 class and some of these guys, they just had no idea. And this one kid was like, oh, I'd rather be there. It's like,
Carmel sucks. I'd rather be there.
And I was just like, you're kidding. Do you get that? Like, I was like, well, I'm sure there are like a million people happy to swap with you if you want. It was just, it blew me away because like we are so rich and we are so blessed, but when we're selfish, we are so blind to it. And there's so much need in our world. And if we just be like, oh, my life is, it sucks. I'd rather be in a developing nation living in a slum. Like, we need to understand how blessed we are. We need to understand how rich we are. And we need to understand that that is not for us. That it is not just for our comfort and our blessing, yeah? In 1 Timothy, Timothy is told to talk to the people who are rich. He says in 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is the command to us, because we are the people who are rich in this current age. We are the people in this world that live in the top 2% of wealth in the whole world. Regardless of our income, the fact that we live in Australia means that we are wealthy. And so we need to understand that we have been given this not just for our benefit, but that so we can be a blessing and so we can do something in the world around us. And a missions focus requires a selfless heart that says, yep, God, I see how much you have done in my life. And I don't want to just hoard that for my own comfort, but I want to do something about the needs of our world, yeah? And so I guess that's my message for tonight. And I just pray that as we come to like think about what we want to do in an offering for the work in missions, or think about going on a trip or just whatever we think we can do to be a part of that, that it needs to be something of a life change and a heart change that is not about our own comfort or our own needs or our own desires, yeah, that needs to be about living in faith and living in love and having a selfless heart. Amen. So I'm just gonna pray for us all now. God, just thank you for the blessing that you've given us and that we are so lucky. God, all we can do is thank you for that. We can't do anything else. And so God, we just pray that you would just show us that, but show us what we can do with that blessing. And God, show us that it's not about us, it's not about our own needs, but it's about what you want to do in the world, in us and through us. And God, I pray that as we look at missions and we focus on what you're doing around the world, that you would stir our heart, God, and that you would fill our hearts and speak into us and tell us the things that we need to do, God, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us tonight, that you would put stuff in us, that this week as we continue to focus on your mission, God, that you would just be stirring us up to do more for your name and for your glory and to do more for the people around this world. God, I pray that you'd fill our hearts with love for you and love for all people, God, not just the people who are close to us, not just for the people who can give us something back, but for all people. And God, I just pray that tonight you would just really, you'd put that in our heart and you'd be speaking to us right now. And I believe that you are, God. Really pray that if God is putting something on your heart tonight and he is speaking to you, maybe even like maybe this morning or maybe it'll happen during this week, that you don't ignore that or you don't think it's just like something from a nice message or whatever, but that you let God speak to you and let him challenge you, because God's call is for people to do something about the things of this world, the stuff that's happening in this world. And I believe there are people here who aren't just going to like give an offering every now and then or just shoot up a prayer, but there are people here who are going to give their lives to the work of missions around the world. So let God speak to you. Let God speak into your heart and challenge you and convict you and open up your heart and your spirit to what he has to do in your life. Amen. Before we finish up tonight, every week, we give an opportunity for people to know Jesus. And this is what we were talking about wanting to do all over the world. And I want to do it here right now. The truth is, the reality is that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came down and he lived on earth and lived a perfect life and died so that we could have forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. And that because of our sin and because of the stuff that we have done, we've rejected God, but Jesus died so that we could be reconnected with him. And he died so that we could be called children of God. And so tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to say sorry to God and to accept his forgiveness and to ask Jesus to come into your life, that it wouldn't be just you living anymore, but it would be Christ living in you. So if that's you tonight, then I just ask you just to raise your hand and I'll just pray with you. Well, everyone's just got their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Awesome. Yeah. That's good. I just want to give it a minute. Just if God's speaking to you right now, then don't ignore that. God, I thank you for every hand that's raised, for every heart that's open. God, that you would just meet them right now where they're at and speak to them. God, we're sorry for how often we just do things that reject you. And God, we pray that you would just forgive us for that. And Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he died for us. God, I pray that you would just come into our lives and that we would just give each day and our whole lives just serving you and to your glory, God. Amen. Awesome. If everyone stands up, we're going to pray this prayer together and then we're going to do our faith promise. So everyone just pray this with me. If you put your hand up tonight, or you didn't but you wanted to and your heart was open, then pray this from your heart and then talk to somebody about it. Come and you can say something to me, or if you in a life group or anything like that, talk to them, I don't know, but do something about it, yeah? So let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I'll follow you. Amen.